Welcome back to Ask the Educator, a podcast for all professionals involved in medical device processing and sponsored by Healthmark Industries. The education team here at Healthmark has 280 years of combined experience in areas ranging from sterile processing, endoscopy, OR, biomed, to hospital and industry leadership. Our goal is to leverage our collective experience to answer one of your questions each episode, giving you the practical tips you need to succeed in the evolving world of device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, clinical educator here at Healthmark, and I will be your host. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Ask the Educator. This is Kevin Anderson, your host, and with me today, I have Stephen Kovac. Steve, thanks for joining me again. We got another Unsung Heroes series podcast on the agenda for today. Last Unsung Heroes podcast, we were talking about water guns and spray arms, and we wanted to touch on something that was related closely to that, which is the compressed air, medical air, instrument air, all of that, however you're referring to it. But we wanted to get to that, and we didn't really have enough time. So why don't you start us off with this one, with the air guns that we are so used to using, whether it's in decontam or prep and pack area.
Okay. Well, you know, Kevin, this is very interesting. Everybody knows ANSI AIMI SG79, and I know we have listeners all around the world. But this debate came up, and it was, what type of air are we going to use? There was all different definitions, and everybody understood the importance of air, and it was also being highlighted in the endoscopy document, which we'll touch on in a minute. And after research and many people coming up, it says, you know, we all have to use the same meaning, instrument air. People were using medical air, which was different. That's what's used for in respiratory and so on. So there's actually a standard NFPA 99 in the healthcare facility code, and they talk about instrument air. And so the air you should be using, unless it's specified in the manufacturer's IFU differently, you should be using instrument air to remove excess moisture from the cleaning and rinsing. And you also need it on the clean side. So, you know, when we're talking the water gun, you don't really have a water gun on both sides, but you're using air to make sure a lumen or a suction is patent. Nothing's there. The force of the air can push things out, but it's also using for drying. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of the low temperature sterilization systems require things to be dry. And so there had to be a definition for it. And let me ask you this, Kevin, did you have air on the clean side in your department?
Originally, we didn't. We did have it brought in. And actually, in our facility, we only had it on the clean side. We didn't have it on the dirty side, which, you know, at the time it was a luxury and we were trying to get it in decontam. But it was just one of those things where we prioritized the prep and pack area. And I'm glad that we did it that way. But, you know, obviously it's something that, you know, a great tool for both sides of the department. So, but that's where we had it. And it was very useful for drying. We had some very challenging things come through the department, especially when we switched over to the updated version of the robot. The endoscope is quite a bit different, and trying to dry that is a serious challenge, even in a drying cabinet. So,
sure.
Yeah. So it was very helpful for a lot of things.
You know, here, there, what's really important for people to understand is I said I talk about endoscopes. People have to look at the evolution. A lot of people, if they really go back and think, even 5-6 years ago, many of the AERs had an air purge and that was it. And they hang it up and the scope would be wet. And researchers like Corey Ofsted and Dr. Michelle Alpha, you know, use the term bone dry. These scopes need to be bone dry because if there is any water, bacteria, they only need a food source, and water is a great food source. So within that, the industry has now have all these different air dryers, and companies have come up to blow air through them to get them dry, and so on. And in some of the IFUs, you will find that you can only put in pressure up to a certain amount. So I see people who bring air in, but they don't have a way of monitoring the pressure. So you've got to make sure you have a gauge or something that you can set it to the maximum air that comes out. Because when you read some IFUs, it says, do not go over so many PSIs. So if you don't have it regulated, you know, that's an issue. And there's some people who will bring in a tank of air, but you got to make sure then the safety of chaining and so on. So air is very vital, but you got to do it safely. So I do believe you need air both on the dirty and the clean side, and you should work with your facilities and IP and risk management if you don't have it. And you said something, drying cabinets, those are great and they're becoming popular again. They serve a great function. So again, do you have the right filtered air, HEPA filter, and so on? Did you have anything, was that drying cabinet there when you came, Kevin? Or did you get it added or upgraded what you had?
Yeah, that was...
Wait, first, before you answer, I wish this was recorded because the smile on your face, I'm seeing it. I hit a button here. Yeah. So I got to hear this story.
Well, there's a backstory, of course. But no, we didn't have it when I started as manager. And one of the reasons why we ended up buying one is because the staff being as, I don't know, resourceful as they are, and knowing that the things needed to be dry before they go into a vaporized hydrogen peroxide sterilizer, they found innovative ways to dry the instruments before that happened. So what was the solution? They knew that the autoclave remained nice and hot, and they would put the cameras in there. And then one day they put them in there too long and then the things melted. And so as soon as that happened, we were buying a dryer that next day. And it was coming in. So it's one of those things where you didn't even realize you had an issue.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not out there doing the work every day. And then you find out somebody roasted one of your expensive pieces of equipment for the OR, and then find out why.
Yeah.
That was an interesting reason. And I felt compelled to get them the tools they needed at that point. So
they hit the real definition of CPD, creative people downstairs. Yeah. If you don't give us the tools, we will
find a
way to get it done. It needs to be dry. I know a way.
We got it.
You know, the other thing is I see a lot of is, you know, we have those cans of air for our computers and that. I see those. I just was thinking of a place. I saw one on everybody's workstation. Now, look, I don't know if it's the right type of air or you can or can't use it, but I don't think on that can it says to be used to dry surgical instruments. But you know what? It has that long little red thing, and they can stick it down the lumen and go... But, you know, if you do it too long, it gets cold and then it gets moisture back on it. And I didn't want to, I'm going, okay. But again, our staff is very intelligent and smart, and they know what they have to do. And if we don't give them the tools, they will continue to find the way. So hopefully we've made people aware of the importance of air, having a gauge and so on. So I want to end this, Kevin, with something new I've been seeing. I've seen it now maybe a half a dozen times. And because of COVID, we haven't been out auditing and that lately. But I was recently at a hospital just a couple days ago, and I saw people with ear protection in decontam. And I have not seen that much at all my travels. And I think this could be a new unsung hero. And talking to the people, this had 6 automated washers, 4 different stations. you know, busy. They're doing almost 100 cases a day, and they're up and running, and it's loud. And I saw ear protection, and the person started to tell me, well, somebody was complaining. They brought in risk management and facilities that you couldn't remember. They had some testing done. So they have given people, it isn't mandatory, but they've right now given people the options of those headphone type or those little orange earplugs that people can put in. And that gets into PPE, personal protective equipment. It's an equipment. And they're doing more of an assessment of the staff. And that's what an employer and employee have to do. And it came through somebody, whatever. So that could be a new unsung hero that people maybe need to look at if it's needed in their department. What's your quick thoughts on that, Kevin? I just sort of threw that at you here at the end as we're winding down.
No, that's an interesting one. And I too have not had any experience with that. I've not seen that before, but I gotta say, I mean, kudos to the team and the management there to be open-minded to that. I know not all departments or leaders or hospital management would be necessarily open-minded to trying to cancel out some of the noise for fear of the communication suffering. So I am all for trying different things like that, especially when you call it, I love that you called it PPE, number one, because that is exactly what it is. But I can totally see other people kind of shunning that because they want to be able to communicate to their people and all of that. However, when we started in my department, even it was a smaller department, or medium-ish, I guess you could say, but we had an old, not to bring it up again, but an old case cart washer, and it was loud. It was like a freight train in your department. I mean, it was hard to talk on the phone. And when I think about that, I could definitely see some pretty serious justification for that, because, you know, we all have different sensitivity levels.
Yeah.
Some people hear things, they can hear a pin drop. I personally can't. And so I don't get bothered as easily by noises or whatever, but some people do. Some people hear every little thing and they can't shut it off, and it distracts them from being able to work. I worked with surgeons like that. I've worked with surgeons who would dial the music all the way up so everybody could hear it in the neighborhood. And then I had others who wanted it so you could hear a pin drop. I mean, it's and the techs are the same way. They have different, I guess, tolerance levels for noise and all of that. And our departments are all different. Kudos to them. I think that's a great idea. And maybe it is potentially an unsung hero for somebody out there who hasn't given that any consideration in their department, because maybe they have some people that could use it.
Yeah. I like what I couldn't think of the word you said, noise canceling, and that's what it's about. And again, it's a sensitivity issue and so on. And that's very interesting. Yeah. Those old cart washers, that's pretty good. So I hope over the two with air and water gun, we've given people thoughts on, do they need them? How to use them? If they're going to put it in, what they need to do. And then look at ear protection for people. I'm not saying it's mandatory or anything like that. I just wanted to share an observation I saw, and I believe it's an unsung hero, and for that department it worked. So again, Kevin, I always want to thank you for having me on, and get back with you next time you give me a ring, okay, buddy?
Sounds good, Stephen. Thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
That wraps up another Unsung Heroes of SPD series podcast. Just as a quick recap, Stephen Kovac and I discussed two unsung heroes. The first one was the instrument air, or compressed air, that we often use on decontam or in the prep and pack space. This is truly an unsung hero of SPD and is an important tool of our trade. It is important to remember that there are some considerations regarding your air source. Are you able to regulate the PSI? Is your air oil free? What kind of maintenance is required, and is it being done? Lastly, consideration should be given to how and where these air guns will be used. Careful attention to detail is important here. Will the act of drying possibly spray water onto clean or sterile supplies? Be sure to use this important tool in a way that won't compromise the cleanliness of your clean area. A second unsung hero that we talked about is perhaps a type of PPE, and that is noise-canceling headphones or earplugs. There are various levels of noise in our departments as well as various levels of tolerance to noise. Perhaps a policy for earplugs is needed in your facility. I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you're enjoying the Unsung Heroes of SPD series. If you have a question or a suggestion for a podcast episode, please submit it via email to asktheeducator@hmark.com. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.